Hello guys.
Yeah.
Welcome to this podcast. This episode is brought to you by your favorite buddy.
Yeah,
Jaron Williamson. Today with my colleague, we will be looking out on the facts you should know about healthy parenting. As a parent, I know this will be interesting to listen to. Lol. As we all know that raising a happy, healthy child is one of the most challenging jobs a parent can have, and also one of the most rewarding. Yet many of us don't approach parenting with the same focus we would use for a job. We may act on our gut reactions or just use the same parenting techniques our own parents used, whether or not these were effective parenting skills. Now here are the 8 principles of good parenting. 1. What you do matters. Whether it's your own health behaviors or the way you treat other people, your children are learning from what you do. This is one of the most important principles, Steinberg explains. What you do makes a difference. Don't just react on the spur of the moment. Ask yourself, what do I want to accomplish, and is this likely to produce that result? 2. You cannot be too loving. It is simply not possible to spoil a child with love, Steinberg writes. What we often think of as a product of spoiling a child is never the result of showing a child too much love. It is usually the consequence of giving a child things in place of love, things like leniency, lowered expectations, or material possessions. 3. Be involved in your child's life. Being an involved parent takes time and is hard work, and it often means rethinking and rearranging your priorities. It frequently means sacrificing what you want to do for what your child needs to do. Be there mentally as well as physically. Being involved does not mean doing a child's homework, or correcting it. Homework is a tool for teachers to know whether the child is learning or not, Steinberg says. If you do the homework, you're not letting the teacher know what the child is learning. 4. Adapt your parenting to fit your child. Keep pace with your child's development. Your child is growing up. Consider how age is affecting the child's behavior. The same drive for independence that is making your 3-year-old say no all the time is what's motivating him to be toilet trained, writes Steinberg. The same intellectual growth spurt that is making your 13-year-old curious and inquisitive in the classroom also is making her argumentative at the dinner table. 5. Establish and set rules. If you don't manage your child's behavior when he is young, he will have a hard time learning how to manage himself when he is older and you aren't around. Any time of the day or night, you should always be able to answer these 3 questions: where is my child? Who is with my child? What is my child doing? The rules your child has learned from you are going to shape the rules he applies to himself. But you can't micromanage your child, Steinberg notes. Once they're in middle school, you need to let the child do their own homework, make their own choices and not intervene. 6. Foster your child's independence. Setting limits helps your child develop a sense of self-control. Encouraging independence helps her develop a sense of self-direction. To be successful in life, she's going to need both. It's normal for children to push for autonomy, says Steinberg. Many parents mistakenly equate their child's independence with rebelliousness or disobedience. Children push for independence because it is part of human nature to want to feel in control rather than to feel controlled by someone else. 7. Be consistent. If your rules vary from day to day in an unpredictable fashion or if you enforce them only intermittently, your child's misbehavior is your fault, not his. Your most important disciplinary tool is consistency. Identify your non-negotiables. The more your authority is based on wisdom and not on power, the less your child will challenge it. 8. Avoid harsh discipline. Parents should never hit a child, under any circumstances, Steinberg says. Children who are spanked, hit, or slapped are more prone to fighting with other children, he writes. They are more likely to be bullies and more likely to use aggression to solve disputes with others. There are many other ways to discipline a child, including time out, which work better and do not involve aggression. In conclusion, children need at least an hour of moderate to strenuous physical activity every day to stay healthy, according to experts. But many kids just aren't getting that much exercise. And most groups are unanimous on the prime culprit, sedentary entertainment, meaning the temptations of the TV, computer, and video games. So, your first step toward encouraging a healthy level of physical exercise should be to limit your children's TV and screen time. Check our next episode.